Over and over, after radical Islamic attacks like the most recent in Michigan, even after that, a New York City man attempting to hop onto a plane to join ISIS, the wish is for a moderate Muslim voice to stand up and speak out against radical Islam. What's the result when that rare voice does just that? Right, it's attacked and vilified in an attempt to deflect and deflate it. As my next guest teaches in his recent article at Breitbart.com, these attacks aren't formulated with facts and intelligence. They're simply insults that are filled with hatred and ignorance. Are these attacks maybe part of what's fueling the radicalization of Muslims? Here to discuss all this is the editor-in-chief of Breitbart London. He's also author of the soon-to-be-released book, No-Go Zones, How Sharia is Spreading in America, Raheem Kassam. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Pleasure, Chris.
And it's Breitbart.com, as if you needed me to tell you that. And the article is entitled, The New Uncle Tom's Islamists and Leftists Target Reformists and Ex-Muslims with Racial Epithets. The whole idea of the Uncle Tom concept, it's those who use it as an attack are actually flipping the initial intent of what Uncle Tom stood for.
Right. I mean, in Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel, I mean, really seminal novel, don't forget, Abe Lincoln, when he was president and met with Harriet Beecher Stowe, referred to her as the small woman who started the big war. Uncle Tom was a complex character, and some say had a Stockholm syndrome about him, but at the same time was really the hero of the piece, you know, martyring himself, committing to a life of servitude and slavery himself, so that others could be free. He was regarded for a long time as a heroic figure, and this changed over the course of some years as people started to focus on, especially the black nationalist movements and what is now transfigured into the Black Lives Matter movements, tried to make an enemy of him because he was seen in the novel to be more assimilating and of course had an element of Stockholm syndrome to him, but they've forgotten the nuances to the character. Now, it's interesting to me that in 2017 we have a situation where people like myself, I regard myself as a non-Muslim or ex-Muslim, whatever you like to call it, but also practicing Muslims like Dr. Zudi Jasser and Rahil Raza and Shirin Kadosi, and the list goes on and on, are referred to as Uncle Toms. We're referred to as House Muslims. You know, this is playing off the House Negroes epithet as well. This is a really crucial thing that I think a lot of people are missing, and it's really crucial for several reasons, really. The first one, as you can hear from my accent, is I'm not an American. I'm from the United Kingdom, and in the United Kingdom, we have more and more we hear more and more about hate crimes nowadays. We hear about how if trans people are referred to incorrectly, that's a hate crime. If you talk about Islam in a demeaning manner, that's a hate crime. But nobody actually ever talks about this. And I think this is a progressive issue in inverted commas. You know, I use the word progressive like Barry Goldwater used the word progressive, which is to mean progress rather than to mean leftism. But it's this idea that you can't integrate and you can't assimilate and you can't be a good British Muslim or you can't be a good American Muslim without other Muslims attacking you for not being Sharia compliant enough, for not being ethnically traditional enough, for not distancing yourself from what they regard as the other, the kuffar, the unbeliever, these Quranic tenets that have some way found themselves into sort of just being either accepted or ignored, especially by the liberal left in your country and in mine. And I have a feeling that if real progressives like Christopher Hitchens were still alive today, they wouldn't allow this to stand. This is a if you want to deem it a human rights issue or a hate crime issue, I think it's a decency issue. You know, I don't like all of this, you know, state dictating to us what we can and can't say. I love the fact that you guys have a First Amendment in the United States, and we do not. But I think it's a basic decency issue. And when it comes to basic decency, I would expect people, especially on the political left, to stand up and say, well, hold on a minute. These people are being abused for integrating. These people are being abused for assimilating. They're being abused because of what they believe and on the grounds that they have certain genetics or a certain skin color or were born into a certain religion. Now, we wouldn't tolerate that from any other side of the religious spectrum. It is known as intolerable. We've seen the way that the liberals treat Christians in the Western world nowadays, and they don't tolerate what they perceive to be inconsistencies or discrepancies or a lack of decency towards any other group. But they will not just tolerate it towards people like me. About 50% of the abuse I get that calls me an Uncle Tom or that calls me a house Muslim or a coconut, about 50% I've noticed comes from white, liberal, metropolitan lefties, not Muslims themselves. And the other half is from Muslims. And so this is why I felt it so incumbent upon me to write this. The other reason is because I keep getting messages from former Muslims, from reformist Muslims, who say, you know, Raheem, I'd really like to speak out on these issues, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid for my family. I'm afraid I'm going to be cut off. I'm afraid I'm going to be a pariah. And to expect people to live their lives like that, or to ask people to live their lives in denial of who they are and what they believe simply because somebody else holds you to account because of the color of your skin. Well, I couldn't allow that to stand. I have a feeling that this will take off as an issue more and more as I think as the weeks progress now. I've put this on so many people's tables, and I think we need to do something about this.
So with Raheem Kassam, who is editor-in-chief of Breitbart London, soon-to-be-released book, No-Go Zones, How Sharia is Spreading in America. Breitbart.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. We referred to how the concept, the idea of Uncle Tom has been flipped over. Everything you just described, isn't that further proof how the idea of assimilation has flipped from the minority blending into the majority to where it's now the majority surrendering to the minority?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, when you look at what my Prime Minister, Theresa May, said about Sharia law, I mean, this, for people that don't know, is a tyrannical theological tool that is really made to oppress non-Muslims and made to oppress Muslims all the same. And when she referred to the fact that she thought Sharia could be good for Britain, her words, not mine, that for me is absolutely unconscionable. I mean, for anybody who has read the Quran, I have two copies of the Quran sitting right in front of me. Of course, many different translations out there. But for anybody who's read it, I mean, of course, you can say that there are magnificent parts of it, as you can say for lots of different things, lots of books, lots of TV shows, lots of films, lots of documentaries. Great part here, great part there. But the second you get onto, oh, but I didn't like this because I don't like the idea of chopping the hands and feet off of the unbelievers. Oh, and I don't like the idea that perhaps, you know, Jews and Christians are called apes and pigs. The second you get into that, you're shut down and shouted down. There was a recent incident in the United Kingdom of a man conducting a television interview on one of the main television channels, and he held up a copy of the Quran and started to quote from it. And at that point, the host of the show demanded that he put the book down and show it some respect. Well, I don't think we have to respect the intolerable elements of this book, much as we, you know, when Christianity went for its reformation, it did not tolerate in and of itself what it didn't like about itself. Holding a mirror up to these things is the only way we can possibly fix them. And instead of doing that, like you say, we're actually pandering to these things now. We say, you know, you have the president. You have the president just a couple of years ago, Barack Obama, giving a speech and saying, oh, and in this part of the Quran, it says that anybody who takes a life takes the life of all mankind, and anybody who saves the life of all mankind. He said that in a public setting. He said it repeatedly. What he didn't do is go on and read the very next line of the Quran, which instructs people to chop the hands and feet off of the unbelievers or those who are stopping the spread of Islam. That was the very next line. So you see these people picking and choosing in their attempts to excuse and their attempts to, you know, as you say, put the rights of the minority over the prevailing consensus. And I'm not even talking about rights here. The culture, the language, you know, the things that people fought so hard for and gave their lives to defend, we are giving up now on the altar of political correctness.
We've got about a minute left here. Just to give a little plug for No-Go Zones, How Sharia is Spreading in America. What's the mission of that book? What do you hope you'll be able to accomplish once it's released?
Well, look, I mean, I just got tired of this silly back and forth we have about whether or not these no-go zones exist. For anybody who has been there, and I suppose I'm one of the few in public life that has, they do exist. Now, they exist in various many forms. Some places the postal services don't go. Some places the police don't go. Some places the local population doesn't dare to go. But I traveled around the Western world going to these places, exploring them and documenting my findings, taking video, taking pictures, and, of course, pumping out this book that'll be available on August the 14th. And I hope it shifts the Overton window. I hope it shifts the narrative around this stuff, because actually the more we ignore it, the more you will see pockets of these, what I refer to as Islamic enclaves in the West, in Molenbeek, in Brussels, in Malmo, in Stockholm, in the United Kingdom, and yes, even starting here in the United States. And this is a reflection on where Europe's gone, but it's a warning to the USA.
His article, dated June 21st at Breitbart, is The New Uncle Tom's Islamists and Leftists Target Reformists and Ex-Muslims with Racial Epithet. And in August, look for Raheem's book, No-Go Zones, How Sharia is Spreading in America, Breitbart.com, to read Raheem's work and the other great journalists over there. Raheem Kassam, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.